Every day, kids become our number one concerns, and then we do pray, and then we really, and prayer does solve, and then the strong faith, and I think that the prayer books are probably more worthwhile than that book. You should buy that book and put it underneath of the bed of your, underneath of the mattress of your kid. And use the prayer book and pray a lot about it. And so there's not really magical things about all this, that we talk about. This is all 老生常谈. And it's just that when you and I are in this position and we learn. One thing that is a struggle is as our kids go into a little bit older, some of them even come as 10 and 11. And then they stop talking to us. And all of a sudden, our lovely babies, the lovely child, the one that's obedient, all of a sudden have become our, they consider us all their worst enemies. And it's very frustrating and it's disheartening to the parents. And so, and but this is the most important time. For many of the Christian, for all the Christian parents, how do we continue on? And that's why I emphasize with the relationship. And the third book, it actually started with this story. It was 2 years ago. My church, my mother church, my home church, the college pastor, Warren, he came up to me and says, "Jeff, you have a problem. You and I need to talk. Please arrange to have your wife to meet me in 3 weeks and give me a date." And I said, "What happened?" And I knew because he's the youth college pastor, and it's obviously my second daughter. Okay. And I said, "Can we just talk about it now?" He said, "No, 3 weeks later." And I was wondering, for the 3 weeks, I was the most, I don't know what happened. I asked my wife, I said, "Was the pregnancy positive or something?" What happened? Are we waiting for the, why 3 weeks? No, are we waiting for ultrasound or what? No, what's going on? But no, and then I waited 3 weeks. And I knew it has to do with my daughter. And my wife just said, "Yeah." But so 3 weeks later, in the summertime, we come in the office, and then here's a conference room, and it has a Casablanca fan. Plop, plop, plop. And we're sitting in this oval table. Some of you heard this story, but I'll repeat it. The pastor sitting in one corner, my daughter in the corner there, me and my wife sitting over there. And he says, "Thank you for coming. Today we're going to talk about something. Sharon has this question. Sharon has something you want to tell me." And but Pastor Warren says, "But I need to have you promise me that you won't jump and become physical." Me? Getting physical, what am I supposed to do? Jump and kill you or something? No, but then he said this. He says, "Sharon want to tell you something, but he wants this assurance." And then my wife kicked me and I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And then I said, "Please tell my daughter that it's okay to tell, whatever." This daughter, my oldest daughter, Lydia, was perhaps the perfect kid. If I ever disagree with what if she wanted to do, all I had to do is look at her like that, and then she would do whatever I say. This is my second daughter. When I disagree with her, I stare at her, and she stared at me back. And then I had to, okay, never mind. Some of you appoint each other. I hope it's not your wife. Anyway, but. So, my oldest daughter, when I go out and walk with her, and her hands will come up, 像小命一样哈，小命树一样。哎，come on, and make me feel so good. And if she ever wanted to ask me for anything, I would happily take out my MasterCard and swipe it for her. But for my second daughter, when I go out, and if I want to put a hand over her, she'll go, I can feel her get rid of it. And then I put my hand over her, and then she will quickly slip and then fall away and walk away. And you know, it's, when you have two in contrast, it's very, very discouraging. You know, I feel like I was a stupid dad, and you know, it doesn't matter how many books I wrote, and all that. I'm a failure. And my wife knew that we had problems. So, anyway, Pastor Warren says, so you promise you're going to tell? Okay. I said, well. So Sharon waited, and so we waited. If it's at home, I would have said, come on, talk. And so we waited for 15 minutes, and then she said, I want to tell you what happened in Mexico was not the first time. Now I'm going to think, what happened in Mexico? Then I remember. Because in Mexico, we went snorkeling. You know, I thought $70, taking my kids out snorkeling is a good time. And then on the way back, everybody's on the captain was passing out margarita as part of the thing. Sharon asked me and says, Dad, can I have one? She was 18. I said, sure, why not? And I ordered one too. And my two boys and I'm looking at it and I said, Dad, can we have it? I said, no. Okay? So I had the margarita, he got a little salt frosted on the side. No, it looked real cool. And then we were on the ship, on the boat. Sharon took it up, drank it all. And I thought, whoa, when did my daughter become a margarita drinker? And then so, but I didn't say anything. I sipped my margarita, and I couldn't even finish the thing. So when we got on the boat, we got off the land, and we got up, and we just, the sun was hitting, and the next thing, Sharon passed out, okay? And so the Mexican ambulance came and all that stuff. And I said, no, that's okay. I know. So I got up. So at night, and on the ship at the dinner time, so I told her, you know, you and alcohol don't mix. And I was trying to be, Dad. And, but what she was trying to say is that she drank all throughout the first year in college. Okay. Pastor's daughter and drinking. Now it's my turn. I sit in there. Okay? It wasn't the first time you drank the whole first year. My wife hands on my back and says, and I said, that's okay. Your father drank when he was in college too. I drank beer. Okay? No, the friends who offered me, but I wasn't the one who drank all the time, but okay. I said, are we ready to go home? Oh, this is already an hour. No, we just waited a whole hour to talk about this thing. He said, no. He says, Sharon has another thing to tell you. And then Pastor Warren said, and I was saying, I taught you Sunday school. No, you are, Pastor Warren, no, you're all 15 years younger than me. And Pastor Warren said, you know, Jeff, many Chinese consider you the Chinese Dobson, James Dobson. But you have a problem. And I was going to say, shut up. But he said, maybe if you solve this, if you get through this, you can write another book. And he was jabbing me, no? And he said, you got a problem. I said, please, go ahead and tell. I'm here. And then I waited for my daughter, and then I waited, and the Casablanca fan go plop, 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 plop. And then he encouraged her. And she said, whenever she had nightmare, she dreamed that I jumped on her and was trying to choke her to death. I said, no, that's yuanwang. No, no, that's too much. No, I didn't do that. All I did is slap her a couple times. Okay? Pastor Warren said, you were physical with her, and violent physical. And then my daughter's head will go down. And I know, and my wife knows, wait and look at me, and you know, and here I'm on trial, you know, she, several times when she was so, I was so mad at her, I was literally staring at her, I could see the fire of hell burning in her eyes, and I saw the devil using the pitchfork, you know, I could see it, so I couldn't, so I slap her back and forth. But immediately after I slap her, I felt bad. The fire didn't diminish. It was worse, and then she just walked away. And I told her to stop. And I apologized, and you know, I said, Dad doesn't want to be the example that men can hit you. Okay, I don't want your husband and your boyfriend in the future to ever touch you with their hands. But I know I lost her. Even though that she talked to me, but the connection went ice cold. That was 3 years ago. So even though I apologized, and I know that her brother saw this, and they were very angry. But you know, the relationship has gone. So here in the conference room, plop, and then just, it's about 2.5 hours later now. My wife looked at me and just patiently waited. I said, I'm sorry. I'm not very good at that, controlling my temper. But I do want to make an effort. Would you give me another chance? And now the ball is on her court. So we waited and waited and waited and waited. And this 3 hours later. And she sat there and sat there. And Pastor Warren, you know, counseling a family, no? This is time consuming. He didn't have to say anything. The first thing is that ask me don't jump. The second thing is that if I get through this, I can write another book. And this is 3 hours later. He's just looking at this. And so, and then he said to Sharon, he says, Sharon, what do you say? Sharon said, okay. Give you another chance. Well, 2 years ago, one book later, I'm so glad that God gave me that second chance. Sharon and my relationship with her now is so much better. I can hug her, I can kiss her, and I can rub my face against her, and they said, Dad, come on, not too much, you know, and come and give me a hug. And I said, no, you don't have a boyfriend, so you need one from the male positive role models. And so, and she used to have she was searching through her identity. She did not like the Chinese church. She didn't want to serve. She didn't hate. She said, I hate Fabi Christians. I hate Fabi Chinese. I hate everything. The only thing she doesn't hate is boba nai cha, you know? But then she hates everything. No, the Chinese. So, but now that with the relationship with the dad better, I find that I can again remind her When I put my hand over her, she doesn't shrug and go away. And I said, come on, walk closer. I said, no, this is embarrassing. No, at least no. This. And so now she's back in worship team. And then I told her, I said, you know, you have a talent. You can serve in church, but make sure that you're not serving out of your human, you know, your own talent. He said, Dad, I know. I said, okay, I'm just reminding you. And so now she's opening up. She and my wife will go out for lunch once a week. And I was talking and all the shit. And I need to back off from my way of demanding things. The way that the tone that I said, Dad, I know. I said, well, we have a lot of trouble, and then sometimes we have a conflict. And so I just want to run through this. And I use the term that with like playing chess game. From the teenager that we probably could do, there's several ways, three ways that change the way we express ourselves. I think that we the parents, especially in America, that when the kids are starting growing up, first we change the way we express. Watch ourselves the way we kind of nag, okay? Eat your thing. No, do this. Put on your jacket. No, do this. Yes, there are kids, and that's the way we talk. But you know, but change the way you express even your love. You know, and change the way you discipline. And also the change the way of your role. I think that we can take our from parents a bit higher up to be their friends. Some of us may think that, why do I want to become their friends? They're my kids. But friends accept one another. Friends will share feelings. And a lot of our parents, we're stuck in the, I'm up here and you're down here. Yeah. You listen to what I say. And so, but if we bring ourselves to the friend's level, don't you envy that they would tell everything to their friends, but they don't tell you? And so if you insist on that you want to be this Chinese parent thing, we can change a bit. I don't know, some of we the father, we may have difficulty that. But if it doesn't have to be both of us all become, you know, the super, you know, touchy-feely friends. But then, you know, if the wife, you know, can do that and the father can, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm not expecting my second daughter to have lunch with me, just like the mother. But then she go with lunch with my wife, and my wife says, hey, I'm sorry, I'm busy with Sharon. And we're going to go out shop. You want me to come along? No. Well, go ahead. You agree with my principle, but go ahead.
When you apply the principle of changing your role from parents to friends, it has to be on the right context. Context means that, for example, when you use that on your daughter, she was already a college freshman, and the coffee whisper was on the first year of college.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about more of the adolescence, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is about teenager now. Okay. Yeah. Let me. Yeah. Okay.
But.
Your butt.
Correct.
Yeah. This. Yeah. Your butt right. Sorry. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good. Yeah. But we're talking about teenagers. Okay. All right. I agree with your principle. Oh, I feel it was a miserable failure. Get through it?
3 weeks without knowing what's going to happen.
Oh.
You must pray a lot.
No, I didn't pray more than the normal. Yeah, yeah. But I asked my wife every night. I asked her, what's going on? No, she knew that this was the issue, but then she knew that our relationship has gone cold, and you know my wife has only twice that locked herself in the bathroom and cry, and one time is because of this. Because she felt that my relationship with my second daughter is hurting her so much. And then the other time was about a year ago. The same thing happened with my third kid, my older twin, which is exactly like her sister, who are very much like their dad. You know that I have four kids, two of them I like my wife, I have never had any problem with. Two of them who are just like me, I have heck of a lot of problem because I see myself in them. Yeah. That's right. And a year ago, the same thing happened. I didn't learn my lesson. Right, and so it happened with my son, and I did the same thing. And he said, "You're going to hit me just like you hit my sister." And I hit him. No, he was challenging me. He was taller than me. He says, "我不会躲你，你打没问题." 我真的气死。 But you know, let me tell you what happened. That's what my mother did to me. My mother used to hit me with nunchuck, 双节棍. Yeah, because she said I'm so 不孝, I mean 不体贴. So she hit this, 啪啪, and I remember, 啪啪, this the nunchuck. And then I hated it when she said, 打在你身上,其实打在他痛,我不痛. You know this? Yeah, 痛在娘的心上. Now in those days, I cannot. I must have done the same thing. So I think God is returning that. No. So this is like 解剖型的很痛. Anyway, no, but you know what? Past years, no, but the second time around, now I'm trying to. When I get real mad, maybe 3 months ago, you know, I see my son, you know, the teenagers, the. When he comes home, he doesn't study. One of them they don't study, but he plays games, you know. And I said, don't play games. So now he does, he does NBA, you know. So he watches, follows us. And then one day I said to them that you guys come and clean up, do the vacuum of the house with us. We do have a lot of carpet to vacuum. 5,000 square feet of carpets, we got a vacuum. And so that's why we have 3 vacuum cleaners. So, because our central vac broke. I didn't want to fix the central vac. Anyway, so I ordered them, and then they did it. And afterward, they had this little lousy attitude. So even they did it, they were not happy. So I was trying to correct the attitude, okay? They did the work, but then they didn't do it willingly. And so I was trying to teach them the lessons. And so I ordered them to come into the room, and I closed the door, and I sat there. And I asked my wife to sit in the middle so I don't jump. And then so I sit on the floor, and then they said, we need to talk. And I said, you guys did it, but why can't you just do it willingly? You know that, no, I got to still say, no, I'm the father. And then they were very angry. Both of them are angry. He says, you ask us to help you, but you didn't do it yourself. What I mean is that when you help me, that means you do it. But the American-born kids, they says, you want us to help you, you better be there too. And so, and good thing I was sitting down, good thing my wife was in the middle, so we sat there and all that. And then my wife was crying. Now it says, now you're losing your second child. You're doing repeating the same mistake. And so the second daughter had to come home and talk to my wife and says, no, Dad is improving. And she come back and tell my son, he says, no, he's a lot better than last time. He's learning. And I had to apologize. I said, okay, I'm sorry, I was shouting at you. He says, well, why did you shout at us? No, because I was shouting at them because of the bad attitude. I didn't hit them, but I shouted. And so now I can't shout at my son. And so I now have to say it nicely. I have to say it reasonably. And I apologize. I said, I don't mean to shout, but I was just so frustrated. Do you understand? Well, if you're frustrated, we're not. You don't think we're frustrated with you? Okay, good. All right. So now we're beginning to. Actually, it's so much better now. My older son, just a few days ago, he says, Dad, you're going to come with me. I said, okay. I'm going to buy an Xbox with my own money. He goes on Craigslist. Do you know what Craigslist is? Yeah. He goes on Craigslist and buy things, and then buy and trade, and make money. I don't stop him. I'll go along with him. I'll be his bodyguard. You know, and so, because I feel like, you know, if he wants to do that and he wants to invite me along, at least I'll still have a chance to be part of his life. And so, so we went with him, and then he said, thank you very much for coming along. You know, having you around and my bodyguard, it's good. Invite me more. And now he asked me about my opinions. He said, Dad, I want to trade, why don't you trade your phone for Omnia and we can sell it for $300? You know, the Samsung Omnia. And so at least we can talk. And what I'm trying to say is that if you have the relationship, and you can do other things. And I'll tell my son, I said, son, you don't have to worry about money. You will do well. I know you have a good social skill. I know all the training that I took you on garage sale is showing that you have a knack for bargaining. And you will make a lot of money, I know you will, but you know that you got to put God first. But he says, I know, I'm doing my tithing already. I know, I'm doing this. And I said, okay, now get to school. I know you can do well. Dad, I know. I'm doing very good. I said, okay. So as we do, you know, how do we improve our relationship? Change the role, change the way we express, and change the way we discipline. I think 中国人的那种越打越糟. We think that if we just beat the heck out of them, I think it's very spiritually it's very bad, and if we just beat out of our anger or frustrations, if we discipline out of our frustration and anger, maybe your wife or somebody will stop us. Go ahead. You know that if you discipline out of love, I know that if you do it out of frustrations, in my case, I was doing it out of frustration, deep frustrations. I thank God my kids do not need the discipline, the misdeeds. 没有做到那个错，我需要用打的. But when I call this what I was doing, it wasn't the discipline. Yeah. And I think my mother was hitting me with nunchuck. I think that was discipline. When you steal, that's. Yeah, I also think so. Yeah. I think physical discipline should cease at a certain time. Yeah. It's worth another section on the discipline. I repeat this, and then 有关系就没有关系. I would now, after this few years, I will strive. And strive, and I think this is biblically correct as well. Without relationship, you cannot do much of all those things. You know, David, King David, he failed in one place. He had a son, Absalom. Absalom did horrible things. Absalom even had sex with his concubine. Absalom rebelled against him. Absalom trying to trying to overthrow his kingdom. But he changed, he came back. And for 2 years, Absalom trying to come back to gain the favor of the father. And even through his father's friend trying to say, hey, I'm back, I changed. But David, I think he was in that sense, he didn't reach out to his son. And I think there are a lot of signals that our kids actually want to reach out to us. 但是我们讲的气话, 我们脸皮拉不下来, and the worst thing he says, you are the greatest disgrace. 有你真的是丢死我的脸. 你讲的这种话, it's deeply now. My father doesn't want me. My parents disown me now. I think that also we all Christian parents, we pray, but then we should have a psychological preparation that one of our kids will be a prodigal son. And I think God used some of our kids to mature us, to make us appreciate that what the Heavenly Father had gone through. And I think we all grow a lot more with having our children. Try to be proud of your kids. Don't ever say those things out of the frustrations. Try to talk. Try not to be stingy in praising your kids. Our Chinese parents often, I can see that this is too small. It's never too late to rebuild the relationship. You know, as the relationship continued to build, rebuild. 6 months ago, this is 2 years ago, and 6 months ago, Sharon got her offer at a summer internship at Chevron. And I heard it was $60 an hour for a summer internship. And I said, huh, that's a lot of money. And I was very happy for her. And then her mother already called me and let me know. And that Friday night, I was teaching Awana, and then she came up to me, and she was very happy. The first time I see, and then she came up to me and rubbed my side. Dad, are you proud of me now? I said, I'm always proud of you. And she said, no, you're not really proud of me. You always compare me to my sister, the one who went to medical school. I knew I was always, I don't want to compare my kids, And I know that she is in the middle. She's the middle child and between a very good older sister and then two twin boys. That's the worst you can have. You know? She says, when I come home with grandpa, grandpa never say anything. They always say, hi, boys. Hi, Lydia. No. And we as the parents, we always trying to make sure that the middle one, the middle child does. But I always trying to say, you do whatever you is best. Although I never say you shouldn't go. Just try. She and her sister very different. Her sister, the one in medical school, when she doesn't study, she get headache. Sharon, when she see books, she gets headache. And so it's very, very different. But no, we have been very careful trying to make sure that. And she always come home and says, they went to the same high school. And they always says, oh yeah, we remember your sister. She was the valedictorian that year. And she was so good. Her valedictorian speech, still people remember. And so she grew up in this little thing. And so she rubbed the shoulder and said, I'm always proud of you. He said, you're not. Okay, all right. I'm not going to argue. He says, I always pay attention to you. No, you didn't. But at least we talk now. Now you see. My wife came in and says, yeah, you play lacrosse. Well, she played women's lacrosse now, this way. I always trying to stop her from playing lacrosse. As a Chinese girl, don't play lacrosse. and always because she's small, and then lacrosse, all those big girls, they had to stand up. So she had to run around them. A couple of times she got blocked, and they were knocked unconscious. And I said, I always attend your game. Even though I don't like it, but I always go. But then he says, yeah, you know that. He says, you were there, but you never pay attention. Yes, that's true. I was there, but I was with my PDA. I was doing my Bible study. And the lacrosse game, like hockey, is very quick. And sometimes she'll score. She's a good scorer. And then she always looked back and see if her dad was watching. And sometimes I'm on the phone with, you know, with my Bluetooth, I was making phone calls. And she said, "You were there, but you were not paying attention." Wow. All this was coming up. "You were not proud of me." I said, "Well, I'm sorry. And you have exceeded my expectation and more. I'm very proud of you." "Okay. All right." She just, they need affirmations from us, and they need praises from us. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you not because you got into work for Chevron, not because you work at $60 an hour, but I'm proud of you because God has allowed you to mature and meet your potential. You know, I used to tell her that, try harder. 尽你的力量. Oh, I mean, do your very best. I thought this is the way that, you know, this is better than my father encouraged me, you know? But to her, you know, it means she hasn't tried her best. So I thought, okay. So now I have to be careful with my next two, you know. I'm very proud of you too. And no, you got to mean it too. Okay. We have a little bit. How do we keep a teenager in our church? Because as they were growing up this period, they're having a problem with their parents, and they are growing through their identity crisis. They have their own, you know, relationship problems. Many of the Chinese churches, we don't know what to do about this group, age group. And no wonder we said, we don't have any young people that, maybe that's better. And I just divided up before age 14, family is still a very important part of this. They come to church because of the family. And as we have fellowship, it involves them, and then when they'll come, they still. And then between 14 and 18, I think this is very hard. This is probably particularly what the very challenging for young the Chinese church. How do we keep them continue to be in the Chinese church? And friends are very important. They want to be with their friends. And if we can provide young mentors that are helping the young people, and allow them the freedom, and then just as we talked about earlier last sessions. Put it into use. If we have the advocates and allow them some independence, and then help them to continue to full fun and friends plus fellowships, mentorship. I think your church is on the right track. Especially for the small church, I know it's very good. Continue to build on that. You don't have a youth pastor, and that's not too bad. I mean, so far, right? Since you can't afford it, no, that's not true. I mean, you know, get more parents involved. I think that's good. And I think that for the Chinese church, we haven't even got this part. When they go to college, and how do we afterward? We haven't emphasized on this issues because many of the once they're in college, we lose so many of them. And especially here in the culture, we don't even welcome those kids coming back. And like our big church, we're in a big city. Even when a college kid come back, they says, "Oh, we don't have any more friends in our church anymore," so they don't want to come. So they'd rather go to American church. But do you need to have them come back? I have to think that issue over. But as we do the follow up on some of the survey on this, and we said, "Please tell us, we won't tell your parents. Are you still going to church? Are you still praying? Are you still doing the Bible?" 8 out of 10 are no longer. And I think that's we can improve on. These are very real questions for your church, if you're teenagers. If my kid said, I don't want to go to church, so boring. I don't like church, I don't like so-and-so. I hate it. I don't have any friends in church. I don't get anything out of church. What do you do? Okay, I'll stop. I don't want to leave you hanging there, but then those are the things, hopefully that will generate some questions. Anybody? No? No if, no but? You don't have this problem at all. I'm totally hit off target. Okay, that's it is not easy. And hopefully it's not trial and error. I think the scripture has provided us a very good guide map, instruction manual. God expects us to parents to be the one who minister to our kids. Again, I'll focus on the relationship, genuine relationship. Remember the R-I-C-E? Rice. Every time when you eat the rice, you cook the rice, you think about this. My relationship, do I do the teaching? Do I do the communication? Do I do the encouragement? Rice. Don't ever say, 我吃盐比你吃米多. You know that, huh? I eat more salt than you ever eat rice. And so, we just continue on the same way we do. But just keep thinking about what happened if my kids 把生米煮成熟饭, or what am I going to do? And just think about those kind of R-I-C-E issue, R-I-C-E. And all right, let's pray. Okay. And we don't want to just pray. We don't want to just pray because for the prayer's sake and as a closing, but I think it's so important. You all have shown great interest and dedication to come in here, and you even spent so much time. I know the Lord will bless you, and we just, as we learn, and hopefully that you'll remember some of the biblical teachings, and Lord, that we just want to commit everyone into your hands, and you know that we all have struggles, and we all have a lot of maturations, and we need to change too. Lord, we pray that for all the parents, that Lord, that you give them strength, give them the wisdom. Lord, many a times that we pray that you would change our kids. Lord, we just pray that you enlighten us, allow us to see that we need to change. Lord, we just pray also that we have patience. We have the unconditional love like yours. Lord, that you know our desire to be a godly parent. And we want to bless our kids so that they have, when they're small, they know your ways and then they'll walk in your way. Lord, that would help us to be a good example. Me and my wife, sometimes even especially for those who are single, spiritually single parents, and even real single parents. Lord, we just commit our other spouse into your hands. You know it's very difficult to even raise our kids to have the same values, same priorities when our other spouse show little interest in spiritual things, and even not believers. But Lord, that we want to have great faith in you. Lord, that we just pray that you give us extra mercy and grace. And Lord, that we pray for of families, starting with between a spouse and I, a husband and wife. Lord, that you know that you give us our children and we are the deity and everyday the demonstration of your love. And Lord, that help us guard our tongues, guard our thoughts, guard our minds. Lord, we pray especially for the fathers, for the men here. Lord, that many times that we don't have a good example to as we were growing up. But we don't want to use that as an excuse. But Lord, that help us to really learn what is it like to be a spiritual leader, a genuine spiritual leader in the home. Lord, help us to be a considerate husband. And again, that would will be a spiritual example, leaders for our kids and for our wife. And we pray for the mothers. And Lord, we thank you for that you give the families, the mothers who love you. Lord, help us to, again, to be an example because our children would need us to not just because providing the physical things, but not just the listening ears, but Lord, that they want to see the dedication as an example out of our lives. Lord, we pray for the mothers. And sometimes we're busy, we work, we're busy with other things. But Lord, that we would always remember our special role. Again, Lord, we just commit our kids into your hands. Yes, we do want them to do well academically. And that's often our desire. And we want them to have healthy, strong physical bodies. But we also want them to have good interpersonal relationship. But above all, Lord, we just pray again, affirm our desire that we want our children to grow up knowing you first, that they will serve you like the way we serve you and even better. Lord, we thank you again for them as they are truly a blessing. Help us not to see them as a church, as a burden, but then we have a burden to really reach out, to value them, to consider them as a heritage that we as a church, you will come together to help others, families, that to raise up a godly generation. Lord, time will pass. And we just pray that there will be young people from later on when they talk about South Bend Chinese Church. And they will feel proud because it was they had learned to love you, learned to serve you here. Lord, that you put this church here for a special purpose. You gave this group of people here, and even from other churches, that you put us in this area. And we don't see it as a less than ideal. Sometimes we may wish that we should have been in a bigger church, a bigger place. But Lord, you place us here. But your desire, your heart for us to raise godly kids is the same everywhere. We thank you for everyone who is here. We pray for children, pray for families. Lord, may our kids constantly see that we love you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again so much.